Praise the Lord. It's so good to be in His house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the second chapter, the book of John. John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. The first recorded miracle of Jesus, water turned to wine. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The day had come, and the guests were gathered. The bride and groom made ready. Everything was in place and in order. What a day this was going to be. A day of rejoicing, a day of celebration. On the guest list, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And there were other names on the list. Jesus was invited, and his disciples. You know, it's a good idea to invite Jesus to your wedding, to the celebration. The Philip's New Testament, there was a wedding in the Galilean village of Cana. Jesus' mother was there, and he and his disciples were invited to the festivities. Then it happened that the supply of wine gave out. And Jesus' mother told him, They have no more wine. Everything is going as planned, and all of a sudden, the wine runs out. We might pause here and note that wine in the Bible symbolizes life, vitality, joy, blessing, and prosperity. However, let's keep this simple for now. The wine had run out. The Son of God and a village wedding. The Voice Bible reads, They all went to celebrate a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was invited together with him and his disciples. While they were celebrating, the wine ran out. And Jesus' mother hurried over to her son, Mary. The host stands on the brink of embarrassment. There are many guests, and there is no more wine. How did Mary know that the wine had run out? Did she notice guests being turned away as they sought more wine? Did she notice the change in the host's demeanor? Did someone come and whisper to her that she might go to Jesus, perhaps someone who believed in who he was, and that a miracle was possible with him in attendance? This much is sure. They had run out of wine. Note that Mary went to Jesus. She didn't take to spreading the news that they had run out of wine, that the preparations were inadequate. that there had been a miscalculation, that they should have cut back on the guest list. Mary went to Jesus. You see, she knew who he was. She knew the call on his life. She knew that nothing was impossible concerning this one. She knew what was possible. Why care that the wine had run out? Well, what if it was your wedding? What if they were your guests? What if it was your reputation? What if it was your miscalculation? Mary went to Jesus. Verses 3 to 5, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Jesus, my hour has not yet come. Mary goes to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Faith, a step of faith, faith in action, faith with works. You see, Mary believed in Jesus. She believed in who he was. Mary believed in his command. It must have been that the servants went to Jesus, approaching him. "Jesus, here we are. Your mother sent us over. We are ready. What should we do?" Had his hour now come? Would he be moved with compassion? Would he send them away? I'd like to remind us all today that Jesus responds to faith. Listen to what he says to them. "Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim." The command was simple, and yet the command was the answer. And here too, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word. These servants had their marching orders. They knew what they needed to do. There was no time to ask for further instruction or for an explanation. Jesus' instructions were clear. Fill the water pots. And they filled them to the brim. The pots wouldn't have been filled if not to the brim. And even if five had been filled to the brim and the sixth lacked, they would not have been filled. Servants of the Lord, no command is trivial. Fill up these water pots. These six water pots. I mean, can't this happen in a more spectacular fashion? Can't we do something impossible and out of this world? The words of Charles Spurgeon, the servants might have said, "This is clearly a mere putting of us off and playing with us. Why, we should be better employed in going round to these poor people's friends and asking them to contribute another skin of wine. We should be much better employed in finding out some shop where we could purchase more. But to send us to the well to fill those great water pots that hold so much water does seem altogether a piece of child's play. I know, brethren, that sometimes the path of duty seems as if it could not lead to the desired result. We want to be doing something more. That something more might be wrong. But it looks as if we could thereby compass our design more easily and directly. And so we hanker after this uncommanded and perhaps forbidden course. No command is trivial. Fill the water pots with water. The fulfillment of this simple command would usher in the first recorded miracle of Jesus. Oh, the path of duty. Fill the water pots. The fulfillment of this simple command would save the wedding. The fulfillment of this simple command would see the celebration carry on. The fulfillment of this simple command would render this the hour of Jesus. Ordinary servants, given simple instructions. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just do it. What a slogan for servants. These that be endorsed by the Son of God. You see, Jesus didn't tell them to go get more water pots. Jesus didn't tell them to empty the water pots first. You see, he works with what is. Deuteronomy 4:2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Church, no matter how simple it may have seemed to these servants, this was the word of the Lord for their hour. Carry out his divine command. Again, the water pots. The pots wouldn't have been filled if not to the brim. The servants took to filling the pots. You know they weren't slack in pace. They moved in accordance with the command of Jesus, filling each pot to the brim. And you know what happened? The water turned to wine. We don't read that Jesus said, fill the water pots with water and the water will turn into wine. I mean, what did these servants expect was going to happen? A time of further cleansing? When did the first servant notice the miracle in water pots? Was it the change in one's reflection as they gazed into the pot? You know, I'm sure they were overcome with astonishment and amazement and wonder at the miracle that had taken place. The manner of this miracle, so simple. At the word of Jesus, they filled the water pots. And their carrying out of this divine command rendered a miracle. What an hour. The Jesus hour. When these words that would later be written were realized. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I wonder today, is the Lord asking you to do something and it seems too simple to bring about the needed miracle? Whatever he tells us to do, let us do it zealously. No command is trivial. Remain humble when the water turns to wine. I quote, now whenever you try to serve Jesus Christ, do not make a fuss about it because he never made any fuss in what he did, even when he was working amazing miracles. If you want to do a good thing, go and do it as naturally as ever you can. Be simple-hearted, simple-minded. Be yourself. Do not be affected in your piety, as if you were going to walk to heaven on stilts. Walk on your own feet and bring religion to your own door and to your own fireside. If you have a grand work to do, do it with that genuine simplicity that is next akin to sublimity. For affectation and everything that is gaudy and ostentatious is, after all, mean and beggarly. Nothing but simple naturalness has about it a genuine beauty, and such a beauty there is about this miracle of the Savior. You know, I can't imagine that any one of those servants tried to take credit for the miracle. I can't imagine any one of those servants boasted of their work, how they so marvelously filled the water pots. And isn't our Jesus humble? We don't read of him rising up in the midst of the celebration. Hey, everybody, check this out. I just turned water into wine. The humble nature of our Savior and the humble nature of his servants. We must always remember that Jesus works the miracle. All they had done was obey. It's the path of duty. Yes, it was water that they brought, nothing but water. And it remains water still. Suppose that they should take that water into the feast. I am half afraid that the guests would not have thought cold water quite the proper liquid to drink at a wedding. They would have said to the master of the feast, "Thou hast given us good wine, and water is a poor finish for the feast." I am sure it would not have done. And yet water it was, depend upon it, and nothing else but water when the servants poured it into the pots. John 2, beginning of verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. They had filled the water pots. And then Jesus gave them further instruction. You know what? That's often how it is. As they moved in accordance with his word, upon the completion of their first task, further revelation came. Enough for the first step. Enough for the next step. All we need. You see, Jesus told them all they needed to know and what they needed to do. Their first duty was this: fill the water pots with water. Their second duty was this: draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. Just a side note, you know, Jesus respects authority and those who respect it. Centurion faith. Draw some out now. You know, still I wonder, when did the water turn to wine? As it was drawn out? As it was poured into the chalice, when it touched the master's lips, or when he took the cup out of servant hands and gazed inside. Fill the water pots. Draw some out now. The filling and the drawing at the command of Jesus. You know, many a miracle has come in this manner. Jesus loves to work with people. Jesus loves to involve us in the miracle process. We might say, well, he had the power to simply say, go draw wine out of those pots. Well, our human action in itself falls short of the desired end, and yet human action has its place. And it's been truly said that God has made it necessary by his appointment. The miracle of Jesus, this miracle of Jesus, you know, it shows us that he cares. He cares for the mother that's declared her faith in him to the servants. He cares for the servants that have come to him for instruction. He cares for the master of the feast and the reputation of the bridegroom. He cares for the guests that have been invited. And I'm not sure who all knew that the wine had run out. Is it possible that only Mary, Jesus, the servants that were serving the wine, and the disciples knew? When the wine was brought to the master of the feast at the command of Jesus, the Bible records, when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. That's our Jesus. The master of the feast didn't say, sure, glad you found some wine. Sweat dripping from his brow, and at that, it's good. There's no record of the bridegroom saying to the master of the feast, where did the servants get the wine? We'd run out. Was all this going on behind the scenes? The wedding undisturbed, the celebration unhindered, the spirit in the room unaffected, because Mary declared faith in Jesus, because servants went to him for instruction, because Jesus gave command enough for the first step, because zealous servants filled water pots, because servants drew out the water at the command of Jesus. This was no party trick. There was no announcement. You know, I've seen it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. A miracle work of Jesus behind the scenes. The servants who had drawn the water knew. Mary knew. The disciples knew. I wonder if the master of the feast and the bridegroom were finally told concerning what had taken place. And I wonder if word started spreading across the place where the feast was. You know, what a story. What history. What a wedding. What a miracle. We need Jesus. The truth is, without him, it's inferior wine. And the world has become intoxicated with it. Inferior wine, and the inferior wine runs out. The pleasure lasts only for a season. And what then? When the inferior has run out, We need Jesus. We need him before it's run out. We need him now, this VIP of a guest. Invite him. Invite him in. Welcome him and treat him with honor, the guest of honor. Let the moment come and be welcomed when the inferior is no more. We can't produce what he can. There are no earthly vineyards which can produce drink of this quality and quantity. We need him. Our guests need him. The young and old need him. The rich and the poor, the suited and the underdressed. And heaven forbid that any one of us are made to drink the wine of the wrath of God. We all need the drink. We all need to drink of the wine that only Jesus can provide. It tastes different, so different. It's divine. It's sublime. It's good. It's most exquisite. It's the best. Perhaps you haven't heard much because you can't get over the fact that we're talking about wine in church. It's not my miracle, it's Jesus' miracle. And if you want to believe what you want to believe about that story, go right ahead. But I trust you've heard what the Spirit would say today about the supply that only Jesus can bring and the simplicity of how miracles can take place if we just adhere to the path of duty. If we just take the first step of Jesus, go fill water pots, and we zealously fill water pots, not asking for everything. Lord, let us know how this is going to take place. Are you going to come and lay hands on the water pots after we've filled them? Jesus just said, go fill the water pots. It seems so simple. And then they return, and then he gives them further instruction. The path of duty. Are you here today and you've never drank from the chalice? You've never put the chalice to your lips that you might taste the miracle provision of Jesus, his manifested glory. It's the most exquisite fruit of the vine. Perhaps you've never received an invitation. Well, you have now. Let's have the worship team return. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Receive these words today. Jesus Christ commenced the gospel dispensation not with a miracle of vengeance like that of Moses who turned water into blood, but with a miracle of liberality, turning water into wine. He does not only supply necessaries, but gives luxuries. And this is highly significant of the kingdom of his grace. Here he not only gives sinners enough to save them, but he gives abundantly grace upon grace. The gifts of the covenant are not stinted or stunted. They are neither small in quantity nor in quality. He gives to men not only the water of life that they may drink and be refreshed, but wines on the lees well refined, that they may rejoice exceedingly. And he gives like a king who gives lavishly without counting the cups and bottles. As to 120 gallons, how little is that in comparison with the rivers of love and mercy which he is pleased to bestow so freely out of his bountiful heart upon the most needy souls. And now let us think about our Lord's mercy and let the wine stand as a type of his grace and the abundance of it as the type of the abundance of his grace which he doth so liberally bestow. If there's a sinner in the house today, let the sinner come. This is your invitation. Come and repent and lay down your life and surrender your all and drink of his grace. And may we all leave this place today convicted of this. No command is trivial. For whatsoever he saith unto us, we shall do it. that we might carry out his divine command, and may we always remain humble when the water turns to wine. Yes, and may we be servants that speak up and give the vintner the glory. Has the wine run out? You've come to the house of the Lord today. Has the wine run out? Life, vitality, joy. Has the wine run out in the marriage? In the home? Some supply lack? Has the life, the vitality, the joy ran out? Is it there at the fireside? Has celebration been affected or halted? Listen, he still turns water into wine. Whatever he says to you, do it. You know, sometimes it seems as servants, when he calls us to such a simple task, it seems like water we're just giving out. But the reality is, it's as the best wine to those receiving it. As we draw it out at his command, he works the miracle. I wonder today, is there a mother who sees a need? Is there a mother in the house who has faith in the Son of God, faith in Jesus, who sees a need? Are there servants ready to go to him and move down duty's path? You know, there was no wine left. Not a drop to multiply, not enough to water down. Jesus made water live. How it blushed and how it deepened. An existence unimagined, for the vine himself delivered the impossible. Grapes of glory virtuously vinted. Miracles behind the scenes. A miracle for the good of man and the glory of God. Water pots at Cana. Are you here today? And he's asking you to do something that just seems way too simple to bring about the desired result. Whatever he says to you, do it. Carry out his command. Fulfill it. Go all the way. You know, there are some servants, they start filling water pots. They fill the first one and they're like, it ain't working. Well, Jesus said, fill them all. Okay, well, let's move on to the second water pot. Let's see if this works. Still nothing. And look, 3, 4, 5. Jesus said, all of them. And often that's the problem. We just, you know, we stop. On the path of duty, we fall short. Too much effort. More water. It ain't working. And heaven forbid we're a servant along the others, because there were servants. Heaven forbid we're a servant along the others saying, guys, this is crazy. No, Jesus said, go fill the water pots. And we got to trust them. Please, I say this again. We got to trust him that after we fulfilled the first command that he's given us, he will give us further instruction to see the miracle take place. You see, isn't it true? We want to know exactly how everything's going to work out before we move. Before we even take to filling the first pot. But Jesus just said, go fill water pots. It's all we read that he said to the servants. That's it. No command is trivial. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. Oh, Lord, we bless your holy name.